I'd like to read firstly in the Ephesian Epistle and chapter 3. And verse number 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." Verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now look back at the second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we read the last verse in the chapter. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Turn to the first gospel, please, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse number 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now that's all we wish to read. I want to take an expression from each of our readings tonight. And you'll notice that the apostle, he considered it a priceless privilege to be allowed to preach the gospel. And how he termed the wealth that God offers to the believing sinner. He speaks unto me, "Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?" Then in the second epistle to the Corinthians, he's encouraging the Christians in the grace of giving. You know, it's one of the marvels of this world. The bond of fellowship that unites Christians of different backgrounds and cultures and religions. And indeed, in this portion, he speaks of the Macedonians. And he said it was out of their deep poverty they gave. They gave until it hurt. And for whom did they give? They gave for needy saints in Judea. Christians they had never seen in their life before. Christians from a different background that before conversion they wouldn't have taken a meal together. And now finding that they're bound together by one common faith and in one family, their hearts were moved to give to their brethren. But as the apostle deals with the subject of giving, he thinks of the greatest giver. And he thinks of the greatest gift. And his heart warmed up within him. And each Christian will join when he says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Oh, he's speaking about the person of his Son. You'll notice that John is a preacher in Matthew chapter 3. One that has a very high commendation of by Christ. Oh, said Christ, a prophet? And more than a prophet. Of those born of women, said Christ, there's none greater than John the Baptist. John was a weighty preacher. The king who beheaded him years later couldn't erase from his conscience the thoughts of the preacher that he listened. Did you notice that John called for men to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? And indeed, when some came forward to John to be baptized, who he says, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance, the baptism without a change in life is a meaningless ordinance. Never put one in God's kingdom. But did you note that he spoke of one that would come after him? John preached his disciples away to another, and with a joy in his heart, as he gazed upon this person of Christ, oh, said John, behold thee, Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. The sinner's need is met in Christ, said John. But he spoke about the wheat, the genuine, being gathered into the garner and safely sheltered above. But the chaff, said John, he will burn with unquenchable fire. Can you catch that? The unsearchable riches of Christ. The unspeakable gift of God. We'd say it with softness. The unquenchable flame of hell. Oh, before this chapter closes, we read of, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Friend, I wouldn't be honest if I didn't speak of it. I wouldn't be fair if I didn't speak of it. There's an awful place of woe where the Christ rejecter goes. But you may be saved, but oh, will you come? Paul here, when he speaks about the unsearchable riches of Christ, he's not speaking about the riches that were his in scenes of glory. Oh, he was on equality with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That makes me appreciate salvation more. To remember that the one who was equal to God upon the throne, he took my place upon the cross and he bore my sins. Oh, think much of the gospel, friend. It took Calvary to provide it. But here he's thinking about the wealth that is bestowed upon worthy sinners. I recall going to hear a man tell his testimony one night. Indeed, I don't remember what he said about himself. But I do remember what he told about his parents. You know, one chappie, when he told his testimony, he told his grandmother's with it because there was more colour about hers. But this man, he told about his parents and his uncle and aunt. And they were inseparable companions. They ran to the world's sports and entertainment together, were seldom seen separately. And you know, they used to joke, well, if you ever come into a fortune, we'll share it. If you ever inherit wealth, we'll share it. But circumstances separated them for a time. And he says, I'll never forget the day my uncle came to our door. Oh, he said, my mother was delighted to see him. Embraced him and brought him in and sat him down to a cup of tea. And she says, well, Jim, did you inherit the fortune? He said, I did. She says, you're joking. I'm not joking, he said. I've come into tremendous wealth. And he says, I haven't been able to estimate it yet. And he says, my mother looked at him with a strange look for a while. Well, she says, you know, Jim, you did say we'd share it. That's why I'm here today. He had been brought into the unsearchable wealth of salvation. And he couldn't rest until his friends heard about the wealth of salvation. Oh, Peter speaks about an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And when you look at this epistle, it's really a story of rags to riches. No, God never intended the Christians to be proud. God never intended a Christian to look down on his neighbor that's still on his sins. Oh no, said the apostle, remember what you were before grace reached you. He said, you were strangers to the covenants of promise. He said, you hadn't got a claim upon divine blessing. You were aliens, you were afar off. And he says, you were without Christ, having no hope. That's what a man is like without conversion. Now he said, remember that it's by grace you're saved. That is, if God bestows salvation, he does it without a cause. That's what it means. The unmerited favor of salvation. You know, all the saved in glory, we will acknowledge forever we never deserve to be there. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. And he paints that dark background. Now he said, as he speaks of Christ, in whom ye have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he speaks about we're made accepted in the Beloved One. And I notice that that is the word that the angel used to Mary. Thou art highly favored. Gentiles without a hope. Gentiles without a claim upon divine blessing. Afar off from God you were. And now you're brought in. And creatures that God finds delight in. And you owe it to the blood of Christ, in whom you have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Note again, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Did you notice three positives? By grace, God bestows it. Through faith I make it mine. It is the gift of God. The most costly provision that ever has been made. God bestows it freely to the believing sinner. And he said, it's not of works. Human effort is excluded. And it's not of yourselves. Human merit has no part in it. To enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. But again, in 2 Corinthians, he's dealing with the art of Christian giving. I was preaching in the valleys in Wales on one occasion, and I met a little hardened miner, and he said to me, what did Christianity ever do for this country? I said, did you ever hear about George Mueller? I did not, he said. I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Just across the river, George Mueller cared for over 2,000 orphans at a time, give them a start in life, and he did it because he belonged to Christ. Oh, the love of God had touched a man's heart. And I said, there's the fruit of Christianity. And you tell me you never heard of the man? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I want to tell you that Christianity has left its mark on mankind. And in this chapter, as we have already said, those Macedonian Christians, hearing of the need of their Jewish brethren that they have never seen of faith, they gave until it hurt. They felt what they had given. Ah, what had touched their heart. Just what the apostle feels when he thinks of giving, and when he thinks of a gift, and he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I quoted it last night. It was a hymn that was translated from the Russian language to our language. That is, they knew it in Russia before we did. And one verse goes like this: when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled, he died to take away my sin. Tell me, the salvation that has cost God so much, O blessed Lord, what hast thou done? How vast a ransom paid, God's only well-beloved Son, upon the altar laid, when the sun went into darkness, when mountains trembled and rent, and I hear a cry from the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And the poet made answer, it was because my sin, by God on him were laid. He who himself had never sinned, for sinner's sin was made. And you tell me, well, this is a matter I can leave until I'm on my deathbed. Who told you you would have a deathbed? Says you, this is a matter that I can defer to another occasion. Said you, this, I have great difficulty in putting my faith in Christ. You have difficulty, friend, in trusting one who left the throne of excellent glory, willingly stooped to the death of the cross, there finished the work that God gave him to do, and has ascended to heaven's throne. And God has declared his satisfaction in the work of his Son to meet the sinner's need. You can put such an offer as that off? You tell me you can leave another night and say, no, not tonight? You tell me, no, I hesitate to trust him. Friend, do you know, if I had 1,000 souls, I would trust each one of them to the person of Christ. Oh, said the apostle, the greatest gift, the greatest giver, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. No, said Christ, none greater than John the Baptist. A prophet and more than a prophet. And we say the preaching of John lingered in the minds of his hearers long after John was gone to his rest and reward above. And they said all that John spake of this man was truth. What did he speak about? He spoke about the Lamb of God. Oh, John said there's one to meet the sinner's need. And friend, John spoke and said, Christ a prophet and more than a prophet. He spoke about unquenchable fire. This gospel speaks about everlasting punishment. Most of you, or at least the older ones, will remember what the term the great train robbery. And when those responsible were sentenced, they were sentenced to 30 years imprisonment. The wife of one of those that was sentenced, she literally tore the hair out of her head and she said, the man is ruined, he'll never be out. But they are out. But friend, here's a sentence that is eternal. It's everlasting punishment. It is unquenchable fire. To reject the gift, friend, there's no alternative but unquenchable fire and everlasting punishment. Two ways before you lie. And you a choice must make. One upward to the sky, one downward to the lake. Will any choose the pit of woe? We all must answer yes or no. And what makes a gospel meeting a joyous occasion? Possible for one to say tonight, it's Christ for me, I'll trust him. And it's possible for a choice to be made in a gospel meeting that will determine eternal woe. Choose Christ. And we give a guarantee with conversion. The man or woman that gets saved, they'll never live to rue their choice.